This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. Now, there's been a lot of limelight on the global mergers and acquisitions of 2021, where a record of more than $5 trillion in terms of overall value was registered, according to Dealogic data. It was a different story back in 2020 when COVID-19 had a pronounced impact on private equity global deal count as the number of buyouts fell by 24% to around 3,000, according to Global Private Equity Report 2021, published by Bain and Co.
But in 2021, activity seems to have rebounded with stronger due diligence activities. But how much of that was scored by private equity firms and how much of that was scored in Malaysia?
So for a picture of what the deal-making landscape is for private equity in Malaysia, as well as the outlook for the year, we speak to Preman Menon, Malaysia Strategy and Transactions Leader at Ernst & Young. Preman, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, despite the financial crisis brought about by the pandemic, how was the private equity deal pipeline? Were there any significant deals done during this time?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on. So the PE deal pipeline is actually one that's been quite interesting. It's actually been a story of two halves. So as the pandemic hit, a lot of the PE focus was actually looking inwards, you know, and navigating what was in effect uncharted waters for many, right? You know, what with lockdowns, disruption to consumer spending pattern. You know, they looked inwards to really understand, you know, what was that sort of, what was short-term disruption versus sustainable trends. So, you know, deal discussions that were very early stage were largely deferred as both the entrepreneurs and PE sat on their hands to some extent and assess the new norms, right? This term that's often being lobbied about. Now, having said that, from a new investment perspective, you know, I'd say the first half of the lockdown, it was somewhat muted, but there were the likes of Navis, Creador, ICG, Equinas, and Diamond, who actually did put some money to work. So on the entry or investments where the PE, I'd say it was somewhat muted, but there were a number of successful exits, right? There was the Mr. DIY listing, which was very successful, you know, Prima Bagus, TM Value Mart, and then on recent, of course, there was the exit by AIGF from Giant Grocers. So the exits have continued to be strong, but, you know, the first half was somewhat muted. Now, if you looked at the second half of the pandemic, when the, you know, the vaccine rollout started to happen and borders reopening, this is when deal activity has necessarily picked up. Now, it hasn't necessarily translated into executed transactions as yet, but certainly we're aware that there are a fair number of discussions being had. And this is actually a trend that we're seeing on a global level. You know, PE accounted for about 30% of deal activity, you know, the back end of 2021, accounting for a very large amount of it. You know, we believe Malaysia will see this similar trend, both across investments and exits. So really what's happening and what we're seeing, conversations that were previously stalled have picked up again. And to some extent, you know, with the PE guys looking to invest ahead of any recovery and also now have a better sense of who or businesses that are sort of the winners and the losers coming out of COVID. You know, I think some of the deal activity is also driven by valuation expectations having tapered down a bit. You know, now with entrepreneurs looking at not just valuation, I mean, valuation is important. Certainly, you know, talking to PEs around how they can help them navigate growth and certainly, you know, address this new norm that everyone talks about.
Yeah, and Premier, international borders have remained relatively closed for the last 2 years, but has that deterred cross-border deals?
Absolutely. With private equity investment, it's not just a question of getting deal done, right? There's a fairly long gestation period that happens between where, you know, with the PE guys and the entrepreneurs alike are establishing relationships. You know, they, you know, spending time sizing each other up, so to say, but also just understanding that they are on the same page in terms of the direction of the company. So, you know, whilst there's been a big push for remote working and, you know, to a large extent, it has been successful, that's not actually been the same as being in the room or having that conversation or physically seeing that asset or the manufacturing plant, right? So cross-border activity certainly was somewhat deferred. You know, we've seen this firsthand on a number of processes that we ran, you know, where the buyers were foreign buyers. It was a struggle, right? They were not able to get into Malaysia to see the assets, right? So I'm not saying that it won't happen or it can't happen. You know, I think with borders opening now, it will start to happen again. But everything just takes a little bit longer to do, right? The transaction just takes that very much longer to get done. This is probably where private equity guys who have got guys on the ground probably have a bit more of an advantage over those running out of centralized regional offices outside of Malaysia.
Recently, we have seen big PE firms like KKR and Carlyle Group in the region. Does this mean that there are high levels of dry powder here looking for deals?
Yes, there absolutely is. But I just want to highlight that this dry powder that everyone talks about, now that's been around for a number of years, whether it was pre-COVID or during COVID, that dry powder continued to exist. And it still exists today, right? It's very high. Now, whilst the big PE funds are active in the region, as you correctly pointed out, their equity check size or how much they're willing to spend on the transaction typically are fairly substantial, right? And, you know, they tend to be north of $100 million. Now, in Malaysia, perhaps deals of this size are few and far between or limited, except where, you know, they are acquisition or bolt-ons, as we call it, you know, part of a bigger consolidation play. But the dry powder doesn't necessarily just sit with the big firms, right? This is across the board from local to regional players, right? The smaller funds all the way up to the larger funds. But this dry powder is not necessarily Malaysia specific. Yes, there are funds that have said, you know, we're going to allocate a certain amount of our fundraise to Malaysia. But by and large, these dry powder, you know, are sitting in regional funds, right? So it's going to be an interesting, I guess, year or so, if there are choice assets or you know, very attractive assets, we see strong PE interest in that regard. And that's an important thing, right? It is choice assets. Not every business is would attract strong private equity growth. I think companies need to be able to demonstrate or articulate growth potential. You know, certainly it doesn't mean because there's record dry powder sitting around that the PE guys are going to fall over themselves to invest. It's very much trying to find that one or two businesses that, you know, would grow certainly in Malaysia and the region.
So if we zoom down even further, are there any particular sectors that have seen a lot of PE action?
In Malaysia, there are a number of global themes that are playing out in the region, and we would expect Malaysia to follow suit. You know, I think historically, when you look at Malaysia and you look at the entries and exits, private equity, a large number of that deal-making has been around consumer discretionary spending, right? COVID has certainly impacted the space. Consumer behavior and spending patterns arguably have changed fundamentally, right? With more and more people going online, you know, people, you know, thinking about how they buy, you know, from a sustainable perspective or a planet first perspective. But there are the trends, there are the usual sectors that we will continue to see action in. Healthcare, as you'd expect, continues to feature strongly on the PE radar. You know, the macro tailwind is strong, the long-term growth expectations are good. And when you couple this with the rise of healthcare tech, this would make it for a very interesting space to watch. In addition, technology and digital enablement is also a space to watch with more and more people operating digitally. The rising need for security, automation, and digital transformation are going to be key functions and drivers for the key activity. Right? Certainly businesses who have embraced the digital economy, you know, either as front runners or players within the digital ecosystem will also feature strongly. You know, I think pre-COVID education was very much an attractive sector. That's gone off the boil a little bit. I expect that to come back somewhat with, you know, how educators reinvent themselves, certainly in terms of how they deliver education, right? Where, you know, it could be a combination of online and physical. And coming out of that, education tech is also a sector that will feature quite strongly. And then I think finally, lastly, you know, being Malaysian, food is dear to our heart. Food manufacturing and processing will also start to feature or will feature again. Certainly businesses in the halal space. You know, I think Malaysia is an itch to play here with the Malaysian halal certification, you know, generally accepted widely around the world. And I think the challenge or the trick is really how, you know, we move from local champions to becoming regional or global champions.
That was Preman Menon, Malaysia Strategy and Transactions Leader at Ernst & Young, talking to us about the private equity deal-making space in Malaysia, and in the conversation there with highlighting some sectors that he sees could be coming back into vogue for PE. Education tech was one. Food manufacturing and processing was another. So those are things to be keeping a watch out for when you're talking about deals in Malaysia.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.